There are a few other diphthongs. These now are true diphthongs where the vowels are pronounced separately, one gliding into the other. They are printed separately. So that is a clue for you. The most common one of these is AU. For instance, in the name of the great apostle of the Gentiles, Paulus, it is pronounced AU, as the A sound, A, the U sound, U, AU, 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 gliding together, Paulus. Lauda, Laudamus, Exaudi. Similarly with EU, Euge, Euntes, Eusebius, Eustachius, and then rarely AY, which is really like AI, remembering that the Y is equivalent to an I, Raimundi, or Raimundus, the name of the saint, Raymond. Otherwise, vowels coming together are pronounced separately. One thing to note is there are a number of very important words in Latin that begin with QU. These are usually question words or relative pronouns. And the QU is pronounced just as it is in English, for instance, as in the word queen. So it's really a K sound, that's the Q, and then the U is the W sound. This actually is just a variation on the U sounds. For instance, if you have K, U, you can see that if you pronounce it quickly together, it becomes K, U, K, U, Ku, Ku, Ku. So you get Qu. So there are a number of words like Qui, Que, Quam, Quod, Sanguis, Quoniam, Loquebar. Actually, Sanguis is with the GU, but the principle is the same. But otherwise, other than the common diphthongs like AE and OE, and the true diphthongs like AU and EU, all other vowels should be pronounced separately. For instance, the word tua, T-U-A, it's not twa, it's tua. The word for God, deus, D-E-U-S, it's not deus, but deus. There is a break in between the vowels. So, in consecutive vowels, one vowel following another, with the exception of the diphthongs, it's important to remember that each vowel should be distinctly spoken in a way such as to equalize the vowels. For instance, going back to T-U-A again, tua. Now, of course, the first vowel has an accent on it, so it is a little more stressed, but still the vowels are somewhat equal, tua. There is also a tendency on the part of speakers to glide vowels together. There's a phenomenon in French they call liaison, which is a kind of a thing, a kind of a situation like that. For instance, let's say we have the word for and, which in Latin is et, E-T, followed by a word beginning with a vowel. Let's say angelus, the word for angel. So the correct pronunciation would be something like et angelus. However, you do hear people saying incorrectly something like et angelus, so it actually becomes almost like E break, T-A-N-G-E-L-U-S. That is not something that should be done. Now, that's all the vowels. So basically, you only have five main vowels with five sounds, one to each vowel. You have some diphthong, what you might call improper diphthongs, that is the ones that are where the two vowels are written together, indicating there's really only one vowel sound, that is AE and OE. You have some true diphthongs where the two vowel sounds are run together quickly, that is the main ones AU and EU. Other than that, all of the vowels are pronounced separately in the usual way. At the end of the tape, I will read some common liturgical texts so that you can look at the actual text as I read it. But for now, I'll go on to the consonants. Now, the consonants, for the most part, are also very simple. For the most part, at least in a simplified way, they're just like the English consonants, except for a few cases that I'll point out. One thing I should point out at the very beginning is that when two consonants come together, that is, the same consonants, most common is the double R, you actually give the pronunciation a longer sound. That is, two R's together would be pronounced about twice as long as a single R. For instance, there is in Latin the word curo, I care, with one R, C-U-R-O, and there is also a word C-U-R-R-O, curro, which means I run. So you can see that there is actually a difference there that the pronunciation indicates. Again, curo, curro. Notice I accented the U a little bit there, but the important thing to notice is that the double R is a bit longer. So let us go through the vowels. The B is pretty much the same as in English. Amabat, docebat, benedicta, bone. The C, as the G later, has what are commonly called a soft sound and a hard sound. The hard C is like the C in cat. The soft C is like the C in church. So you have k and ch. The way of distinguishing when to use a hard and a soft C is very simple, and the principle is the same for the G. The C, or the G, is soft before E or I, and that includes AE and OE, since they're pronounced like E, otherwise hard. So, for instance, our word chelum, C-A-E, diphthong L-U-M, you have the soft sound, ch. For the word caro, C-A-R-O, caro, the C is hard because it is followed by an A. So examples of the soft sound would be words like luceat, civitas, celum, amici, cives, certus, vocet, fecit, societatis, citara, benedicimus, crucifixus, procedenti, cernui, cimbalum. The last one has a Y as our English word symbol, C-Y-M-B-A-L. However, remember that the like is like the I. examples of the hard sound that is before A, O, or U would be the following: caterva, caro, corda, secula, cecus, cruce, credo, sanctus. Amicti, cuncta. Now, a slight variation on this is the double C, but it really is the same principle. For instance, the word ECCE, etche, it's like TCH as in fetch, etche. Notice that because it's a double C, it is held a bit longer, etche. Also, accipe, A-C-C-I-P-E. There is also the cluster CH in Latin. In this situation, CH represents simply a hard C, sound of C as in cat. So you have caritas, carta, com, machina. And also you have this hard sound at the end of a word because, of course, it's not followed by any vowel in that case. Huic, nunc, hec, hoc, illuc. The D is pretty much as in English. The F and the V are pretty much as in English. Some of these consonants are a little more like their European varieties, but I don't want to emphasize these very small differences for a basic knowledge. G, I already explained to you, also has a hard and a soft sound. It's very much like C. The hard G is like the G in go. The soft G is like the J sound as in gender. And the rule is the same, that the G is soft before E and I, including A, E, and O, E, and is hard before A, O, and U. So we have examples of soft Gs as genus, genitori, unigeniter, regina, intingit. Is hard in the other cases like gladius, gloria, sanguis, plaga, ergo, gallia. The GM cluster is pronounced like the ny sound that you hear in the word canyon. It occurs in such words as agnus, inia, magnum, dinium, magnificat. Now the H is a matter of a little difference in opinion. We know that in the classical period it did have a sound like the H sound in English when it's pronounced, like home. However, we know that it was a rather weak sound and apparently pretty much disappeared, as for instance in modern day French, there is no sound given to the H. However, and many musical texts on how to sing liturgical Latin will say not to pronounce it, and that's certainly a reasonable thing to do. However, some people prefer to give it just a very light sound rather than to leave it out entirely. Now, I'm talking about an H immediately followed by a vowel. There are some clusters in which H appears, like PH, TH, and CH. I've already discussed the sound of CH, where it simply is silent and it's a hard C sound. I'll discuss PH and TH in a moment. So, You can leave it out entirely or make it very light when it's immediately before a vowel. There is the case of two words in particular that have an H in the middle of the word, outside of a CH or a TH or a PH. Those are MIHI and NIHIL, both of which are fairly common words. There are different instructions about how to pronounce this. Most musical books say to pronounce that H as a K, so it would be Nikki and Nikil. That, to me, is a little bit too much. I would rather stay with the other pronunciation of just making a somewhat emphatic H, so it's more like Nihil and Nihi. But consistent method that you use is fine. Going on, some examples. Chirographus, Pulcher. Of course, those have the CH in them. The Latin word for a human being, HOMO, would be homo, with a light or non-existent H, as in the expression that's used in the New Testament, in the Gospels, ecce homo, behold the man. The J is, in some texts, not even written. Instead, it is written as an I, because actually the J is just a slight variant of the I. However, I believe virtually all liturgical texts use the J, and it is pronounced like a quick I, really a Y sound, as in yes. For instance, the word J-A-M, meaning already, is Yam. The word of our Savior, Jesus, Jerusalem, Major, Eius, Judicium, Adjuva, Ioannes, Jacobi. K is always pronounced hard, Kalende. It's a very rare consonant. L is pretty much the same as in English. Lauda, Leva, Liberasti, Lucis, Illuia, Illuia, Illuc, Illud. M is pretty much as in English. Mea, Meus, Mihi, Mater, Mulier. N is pretty much as in English. Non, Nomine, Nobis, Nostro, Mundi. P is pretty much as in English. Pax, Pleni, Pater, Palmis. PH is the one exception to that little rule of thumb that the H is usually silent. In the cluster PH, just as in modern English, it is pronounced as an F, like telephone. So you have frenetici. I described to you earlier the sound of Q, the consonant Q, always followed by U, as in qua, English word queen, or in Latin qui, quia, quid, quam, quaesivi, quando, quos, and so on. R, if at all possible, should be tapped a little bit against the roof of the mouth, as it is in Spanish and all the Romance languages except French. And for a double R, rolled. So that example I gave before is instructive. Kuro with one R, Kuro with two R's. So we have words like Renium, Regina, Respice, Revela, Persone, Eterna, Consequamur. S is given the same sound as the English S. For example, sapientiae, sentire, sicut, reges. The only slight departure from that is when the S appears before two vowels, between two vowels, in which case sometimes the S can be slightly weakened into a kind of a Z sound, but never a full Z sound. For instance, miserere, misericordiae, not misericordiae, but misericordiae. Frankly, you don't even have to do that much if you don't want it. To keep the S as a pure S is perfectly acceptable. Now we get into a cluster that is a little different, the SC cluster. And this also follows the basic principle of the hard and soft consonants as C and G, so that the SC before an E or an I or AE or OE is pronounced sh, whereas before an A, an O, or U is pronounced hard as in sk. So we have the soft sound, descendit, viscera, ascendit, requiescet, tabescet, shimus, and the hard sound, scabellum, scuto, requiescat, pasca. Also SCH has that same sound, scola. T is this basically the same as in English. Tempora, tibi, tuo, terra, tantum. TH is like CH, the H is in effect silent and it's pronounced just as a simple T would be. Catholicam, thesaurus, Tarsis. Now, you will hear people who are influenced by the English fast sound. So you will have, for instance, in the Creed, the Nicene Creed, et unam sanctam catholicam et ecclesiam, not catholicam, but catholicam, just a T sound. Then we have the TI. When TI is followed by a vowel, it generally has the ts sound. Grazia, deprecationem, tertia, sperantium. When the ti is followed by a vowel and preceded by s or t or x, it becomes difficult to do that, so it's simply pronounced as a t and an I sound. So you have, for instance, Modestia, M-O-D-E-S-T-I-A. You couldn't say Modestia, well, you could say it, but it's very difficult. So generally, the rule is simply that if the T-I is followed by a vowel, you have the S sound, otherwise just the T sound. V is, as in English, V. X is a double consonant, so you have generally sounding like KS as in box. Sometimes the K sound is weakened, particularly at the beginning of a word, into a kind of a G sound, not a very pronounced G sound, but it's almost like that S in between consonants, S in between vowels. It's just a little bit weaker, so you have exalto, exercio, exulto. Now, sometimes it's weakened a little bit to exalto, exercio, exulto, but not exalto, exercio. Not, it shouldn't be sounding like egg, but egg. Exalto, the sound goes into the next word. If you don't want to deal with that, just pronounce it as K-S. Exalto, perfectly all right. There are some... of course, if it's not followed by a vowel, and instead is followed by a consonant, it has simply the X sound, and the following consonant controls the rest of the sound. For instance, excelsis, the X is simply the K, and then the S, the shell, simply comes out of the C, because as you remember, C followed by E is sh. So you have E-X-C-E-L-S-I-S, excelsis. Now, in the remaining time, I'm going to read the Nicene Creed in Latin a little bit more slowly than usual so that you can hear the sound and you can read along in your missal. Credo in unum Deum, Patrem omnipotentem, factorem caeli et terrae, visibilium omnium et invisibilium, et in unum Dominum Iesum Christum, filium Dei unigenitum, et ex patre natum ante omnia saecula, Deum de Deo, lumen de lumine, Deum verum de Deo vero, genitum non factum, consubstantialem patri, perquem omnia facta sunt. Qui propter nos homines et propter nostram salutem descendit de caelis, et incarnatus est de Spiritu Sancto ex Maria Virgine, et homo factus est. Crucifixus etiam pro nobis, sub Pontio Pilato passus et sepultus est. Et resurrexit tertia die, secundum scripturas, et ascendit in celum, sedet ad dexteram patris, et iterum venturus est cum gloria judicare vivos et mortuos, cuius regni non erit finis, et in spiritum sanctum dominum et vivificantem, qui ex patre filioque procedit, qui cum patre et filio simul adoratur et conglorificatur, qui locutus est per prophetas, et unam sanctam catholicam et apostolicam ecclesiam, confiteor unum baptisma in remissionem peccatorum, et expecto resurrectionem mortuorum, et vitam venturi saeculi. Amen. One thing you will note about the reading of Latin 2 is that the reading should be even. The vowels should be given approximately equal length. The consonants be given their due time. The accent is not heavily stressed. Now I'll proceed to another reading, which you can also find in your missal, the Our Father, Pater Noster. Pater Noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. And now the Sanctus, which you'll find also in your Missal. Sanctus, 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 Dominus Deus Sabaoth, pleni sunt caeli et terra gloria tua. Hosanna in excelsis. Notice the Hebrew word Sabaoth in there. The Hebrew words are pronounced just as they would be pronounced in the Latin system. Notice that each vowel gets its own pronunciation, and the TH at the end is the simple T, because the H is always silent in the cluster TH.